It's time for the Sandler Training Hour on News Talk 670 KBOI. Here's your host, Jim Stevens.
And welcome to the Sandler Training Hour. This is your host, Jim Stevens. We come to you each weekend with tactics and strategies to help you grow your business and improve your personal life. Some of the things we do in Sandler involve helping people gain mastery over their communication skills, management abilities, and customer service. My guest today is Rochelle Carrington. Rochelle, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here.
Tell us a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and how did you get into Sandler?
Well, my business is in Armonk, New York. I'm about an hour outside of New York City. And I've been in the business now for about 8 years. So I'll just be starting my eighth. And I came to Sandler sort of in a strange way. My previous life was in magazine publishing, about 16 years in sales and sales management, with magazines like Glamour Magazine and Marie Claire Magazine.
Whoa.
And I came to a point where I was just tired of what I was doing. I needed a new challenge, and so I was looking around at different businesses. Had never heard of Sandler before, but someone mentioned it to me and said that I should check it out, that I might be interested in their sales philosophy. So once I understood the philosophy, which was explained to me in about an hour and a half, workshop that I attended, I said, I'm in. This is the best stuff I've ever seen.
Very cool. There are not very many female Sandler trainers. Talk to us a little bit about what that's like to be successful in a world that seems to be dominated by men.
That's actually interesting because I get asked that a lot, but honestly, I don't really notice it or
Great.
Think about it. I am who I am, and I got here. I love what I do. I'm committed to what I'm doing and helping my clients improve and helping myself improve. So the fact that there's a lot of men doesn't necessarily really resonate that much. I did have a client a number of years ago ask me one time if I ever had any female clients, because my clients all seem to be men as well. So I'm not sure if that's just what I tend to gravitate to more or I just find more of, but I really don't think that it has anything to do with what your sex is. I think it's really about, is this something that you love and enjoy and are passionate about?
That's really funny. You know, most of us in Sandler do a lot. Part of what we do is training, but also we do executive development, and I mentor a handful of executives, and all of the folks I'm mentoring and most of the folks that I do mentor are women. So.
Ah, so maybe there's an inverse attraction there.
Yeah,
somehow. I don't know.
Right. That is really funny. And I do want to say for our listeners that Rochelle is not just a Sandler trainer. She's a great trainer. We go to Sandler school 3 times a year. And Rochelle is on the podium very often, a very compelling speaker, and I think one of the better known Sandler franchise owners in the United States. So we're just honored to have you, Rochelle.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that.
So today,
it's easier to be known when you're a woman in a land of men, too.
Well, that's true.
Maybe that's where it works for me. I don't know.
And it helps that you're very attractive.
Thanks.
So today we're going to be covering several topics, the first of which is how do I eliminate mutual mystification? So that's a Sandler buzzword, which means in essence, you end a meeting, you've got two people nodding their heads, agreeing to a next course of action, and then what you thought happened was going to happen doesn't really happen. What they thought happened should happen doesn't really happen. So Rochelle, what are some strategies to help eliminate those kind of conflicts?
Well, this is one of my favorite Sandler subjects because I look at it as the clear future, getting a clear future out of every single conversation you have, whether it is a cold call, a sales call, a referral ask. And it's one of the things that when learning it in Sandler, it really improved my own sales skills. I absolutely see it improving those of my clients as well. The clear future, I think, is one of those things that appears to be very simple, but what I find is that it's not as easy as people think, and we can talk in a little bit about why that is. But The concept is, what is the ideal next step that I as a salesperson want after every single conversation? Now, the only way that I can determine that is that I have to think about it ahead of time. And so I have to do some sort of pre-call planning in my head on a sheet of paper to say, what would be the ideal next step? What would make sense? Then I've got to make sure that I prepare someone ahead of time for the discussion about that next step, and then I follow up at the very end of the conversation with creating that next step. And so I kind of look at it as bookends almost. So in order to make sure that there's no mutual mystification, I've got to talk to the prospect at the very beginning about what is going to happen at the end of our meeting. So if I'm in a two-call close, let's say, and I'm in the first sales call, I know that my ideal next step is to set up another meeting. But I also want to make sure that the prospect knows that we will set up the date and the time for that next meeting while we are still together. And I think that that's one of the things that sometimes people miss. They'll talk about, we'll set up another meeting, but they don't do it while they're still with that prospect, and therefore they end up with a lot of emails going back and forth or chasing somebody down for a date, and it becomes really, really inefficient.
Boy, it really does, and it becomes a time waster.
Huge time waster.
You can spend so much time trying to reconnect with someone, and I don't know how many times I in the past have had experiences where we agreed to a next step globally, generally speaking, and it was a great meeting, and yet the client went dark. It's like, I feel like a stalker. How do I even get back in front of them?
Absolutely, so, and that's what this really helps you to stay out of, that stalker mentality.
So,
because it's not a fun place to be.
No, it is not. So what you're suggesting is, before we go into the call, we need to know what that next step is. Then we need to really prepare our clients that we're going to agree on that. When does that happen?
That would happen in the very beginning of the meeting. So in Sandler speak, we always do an upfront contract at the beginning of the meeting, which basically just verifies the amount of time that we're going to have with that prospect, what is going to happen during the course of that meeting. And then the end part of that is talking about what the potential decision for that meeting may be and the follow-up next step. If I were to do the latter part of that with the clear future, what I might say to you, Jim, and again, this would be if I'm in a two-call close and this is the very first sales call I'm having with you, is I might say, you know, Jim, at the end of this meeting, we've got a couple of things that might happen. One is, you or I may just decide that it doesn't make sense to proceed any further, and if that's the case, you know, we'll go ahead and call it a no. Either side of us can do that, and it's not a problem. It doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. The other option is that we'll have a good meeting, and we'll need to schedule a follow-up meeting. And if we decide to go down that road, what we'll do is pull out our calendars at the end of this meeting, pick a date and a time, so that we've got that together before we part. I just want to double check that that sounds okay to you. And that's kind of how you set it up. Now, the second part of that is, I think where it becomes a little bit harder for people is actually booking that meeting right then and there. So after you go through the course of your half hour, 45 minute, hour long meeting, and you come down to the decision point, that the question is typically, so Jim, what do you want to do? If I've set up that clear future well in the beginning, and we've had a good meeting, and things have resonated and make sense to you, then what you're going to say is, well, we should probably set up another meeting. So now you're asking me to set that up. And so what I would say is, let's pull out our calendars. Now, a couple of things happen sometimes where somebody may say, I don't have my calendar. And I've actually had a prospect say that to me. And I said, do you have your phone? He said, yes. And I said, do you have a calendar on your phone? Yes. Well, let's take a look at that. He pulled out his phone and we got the date and time. I've also had situations where I've had to ask a couple of times, because here is where a prospect can get a little wishy-washy, where they may say something like, why don't you just call me Monday morning? What I find my clients doing is they take that as a clear future. Okay, Monday morning, I'll call you Monday morning. Sounds good. and they leave. But what happens is, whatever time they decide to call on Monday morning, I can guarantee that that person is going to be on the phone, out of the office, at a restroom break, walking their dog, doing something other than sitting there waiting for that phone call. And so what happens is, I choose a time that's going to fit on my calendar. I don't know what that prospect is doing, but my likelihood of missing them is incredibly high, and now I'm back in chase mode again.
My name is Jim Stevens. I'm the host of the Sandler Training Hour. My guest is Rochelle Carrington. Rochelle, give our guests your contact information in case somebody out there listening would like to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. You can reach me. My email is rochelle@sandler.com. It's R-O-C-H-E-L-L-E @sandler.com. My phone number is 914-273-4700.
If you're interested in us, we're available at crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. We'll be back right after this message for the next installment of How Do I Avoid Having a Wishy-Washy Outcome to a Sales Call? And welcome to the sponsorship segment of the Sandler Training Hour. My guest today is Susan Graham. She is the owner of Senior Edge Legal. Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate being here.
Talk to us a little bit about what you and your firm do to help people make sure that their legacy lives on.
When we meet with people, we sit down and talk with them about their goals. And once we understand what they want to accomplish, then we help them set up an estate plan that fits those needs. We want to put in charge the people that they want to have make decisions for them when they can't communicate effectively due to illness or when they're gone. We want to make sure that the money is managed properly for them and, as much as possible, protect it from those unforeseen expenses of long-term care. Most people just ignore the fact that they have, once they pass 65, a 70% chance of needing care before they die, and they don't understand what those costs really are. They range from $20 an hour to someone in your home, to $15,000 a month for 24-hour care in your home, to $8,000 a month in a nursing home. These are devastating costs, but when we can plan ahead, we can usually save major assets for the family.
So what kind of things can I do if I do have some assets? And when we talk about assets, maybe it's a home, maybe it's a retirement account. What are some of the things I might do to preserve my assets?
One of the things you can do is certainly consider purchasing long-term care insurance. I don't sell that insurance, but I think it's a wonderful opportunity to provide for care in your home, assisted living, or nursing homes, and it gives you an extra pocket of cash to pay for those expenses. But if you can't afford that, or it's not available to you because of your age or illness, then some of the planning techniques are to set up an irrevocable trust and stick certain assets into that trust and make certain that it's managed appropriately so that if a child, for instance, you have a child managing it for you, if that child has creditor problems, we don't want that child's creditors to take those monies. So they're fairly complex trusts, but we can do that as one of the more aggressive ways of protecting assets.
How does it protect the asset to be in a trust?
When you place assets in an irrevocable trust, this is what I'm talking about now, an asset protection trust for your home or your cabin, that you want to make sure if you're terribly ill and you need long-term care that the state is not going to take that. What we're talking about is qualifying for the Medicaid program or perhaps the Veterans Aid and Attendance program if someone's a veteran. And the rules are very rigid. If you give assets away within 5 years of applying for those benefits, you will not qualify. They will pull those assets back, and eventually they'll go to reimburse the government for the cost of your care. But if you've given those assets away more than 5 years before ever needing that care, those assets can be protected in an irrevocable trust.
And when I put them in a trust, in essence, I'm giving them away.
That's correct. You're giving them away, and now they're owned by the trust, and you have no access to that trust. These are complex documents, but we can set them up so that you have people in control that you trust. Normally, these are your children or other, you know, close family relatives or good friends. And there are standards in there that allow them flexibility to use those assets if need be before you would ever qualify for Medicaid or the veterans benefits. Also to assure that those funds go down to your children and grandchildren.
You said these are complicated subject matter. It certainly is. Could you share your contact information in case one of our listeners is thinking, I'd like an expert to explain this to me?
If they'd like to call, our phone number is 344-0375, or they can go to on email. It would be info@senioredgelegal.com, senioredgelegal.com, or they could go to our website and get lots of additional information, and that's just senioredgelegal.com.
Susan Graham, she'll be back after this next segment of the Sandler Training Hour, sharing with us some more strategies and insights in how to preserve your assets and make sure that your heirs are protected as you age.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
I started with Sandler about 3 months ago now. Since being here, we've doubled the revenue that we've been generating, 10 times paid for itself easily already. So I'm excited for the road ahead and highly recommend this training to anyone who's looking to generate new business sales and be successful.
Sandler Training develops a plan to make sure your team has the skills they need to close the sale. Learn more online at crossroads.sandler.com.
Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. My ability to tell our story pales in comparison to what my clients have to say.
How Sandler has benefited us has been a tremendous impact on their sales methodology and the practices and procedures that we follow now. Before, we were just pretty much doing everything individually on our own, and now we have very structure to what we do, and our results have been amazing.
Sandler has helped me quite a bit. When you meet with a client, says, oh yeah, we're interested, send us a quote. And you send a quote, and then next thing you know, you're in the chase mode. I used one of the Sandler approaches. Very simple. So it sounds like, Sandy, you've decided not to work with us, but you're just too nice and you don't want to hurt my feelings. And if that's the case, that's okay. Immediately, she said, no, we have not made a decision yet, and then explains to me why she hasn't returned my call. So the system worked.
If you're ready to take yourself or your team to the next level, give me a call. Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. And welcome back to the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. Today, my guest is Rochelle Carrington. Rochelle is a Sandler trainer, been in the business for 8 years, comes from a background of publishing and marketing. And by the way, Rochelle, does that help you in your Sandler business? Do you rely on your past experience to help you market and build your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I was on the sales side and then managed salespeople across the country for half of that career. All of that experience of selling and being out with clients and also managing my team has helped quite a bit. We interacted quite a lot with our marketing department as well, so stealing some ideas from best practices from that world has helped quite a bit.
I bet it would. We've been talking with Rochelle about the concept of identifying a clear future with your prospects and your clients. And most people mistake an agreement to a next step as a clear future. If somebody says, well, why don't we get together next week, give me a call on Thursday, that would be great. We think, good, we've got a next step established. But really what we have is an invitation to chase the prospect. So to eliminate that invitation to chase, in Sandler, we recommend that you establish a clear future, which involves a date, a time, and an agenda. Rochelle's suggestion in the first segment was to, in order to create that next step, you've got to know what your ideal next step is. You got to do some pre-planning to anticipate what you want to have happen. Second, you got to prepare the client for that by letting them know in the beginning of the conversation what's going to happen at the end of the conversation. We're going to check our calendars and schedule a specific meeting. Then at the end of the conversation, you're going to agree on the specifics at that point. And Rochelle was just sharing with us what that sounds like.
If we're at the end of a meeting and I'm meeting with you, Jim, what I would say typically is, what would you like to do next?
Well, I think it would make sense for us to get together. So far, I really like what you've said. And I guess I'd like to hear more about what is it going to cost and really what happens.
Okay, well, we can certainly do that. So in with that in mind, Jim, why don't we pull out our calendars and let's pick a date and a time when we can get back together again. Do you want to just pull out your calendar, pull out your phone right now?
Sure. Okay.
Tell me what you're looking at.
I guess I'm looking at next week. Maybe we could meet on maybe Friday?
Friday? Okay. Let's see. I can meet Friday 10 a.m.?
10 a.m.? Yeah, I think that'll work.
Okay. So for that conversation, Jim, let's put down about an hour. What we'll do is talk a little bit about how we can solve some of the challenges that we talked about today. I'll walk you through what a scope and training plan might look like. We'll talk a little bit about the investment that might be needed in order to fix those things. And then at the end of that meeting, you know, typically there's going to be one of two outcomes. We'll either decide that it's not worth it, it just doesn't make sense to move forward, and we'll just, you know, finish our conversation and part friends, or we'll decide that it makes sense to move forward, and we'll put some dates on the calendar to start some training and get everything kicked off. Did you have anything else in mind for that meeting?
No, not really. I think one of the concerns I have is that in moving forward, I'm going to have to include some members of my team, so I'm not clear on how do I get them to agree to or buy into this.
Okay. And are those members people that will be part of the decision-making, or are they people that would just be part of the training and you just want them to be bought into the concept?
Right. No, the latter.
The latter.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we can brainstorm in that meeting is if we decide, you and I decide to move forward with training, we can brainstorm how to get them on board and how to get them excited about it.
Good.
Is that something that would help?
Yeah. No, that would be very helpful.
Okay. All right. That sounds good.
So terrific. That's a great example of upfront contract for the next step and a clear future so that we're not playing chase.
Right. In that situation, what I want to do is have you understand that if we decide to move forward, we're going to put dates on the calendar. So
right.
Even if it's just for a kickoff, that you and I are going to look at the calendar and say, okay, September is the time frame. Let's pick that particular date. Because once we get that date, it's easier to get every date after that.
The thing I love about your process here, Rochelle, is that it is very clear. It's identifying everything that's going to happen and looking for any roadblocks to make sure we don't get stalled in this process. I can imagine that there are times, however, you set a clear future and somehow it gets muddy. They're not available.
Yes.
They stand you up. How do I deal with that?
Yes, that's a great question, because I think it probably has popped up in the minds of people who are listening.
Right.
One of the first things that I would suggest is after you get the date and time from someone, whether it's for another phone call or a face-to-face meeting, that you send an Outlook invite to them. That way, I know it's going to be on their calendar, and I'm always looking for whether they accept it or not. If they did not accept it, then I know I've got a potential challenge, and I'm going to have to follow up with them again to make sure that they accepted it. The place where you can sometimes get stood up is really what I find anyway, not so much on a face-to-face appointment, but if you have a follow-up phone call. And a follow-up phone call may happen because, maybe as an interim step, because you've got to get back together and talk some numbers before you come back and give an actual proposal or a
mm-hmm.
scope.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, if you set that up for Monday at 10 a.m., you may call and the person isn't there. Initially, what I want to do is I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe something happened. Maybe they're stuck on another phone call that's running long. Maybe they got stuck in a meeting. And so the message that I'm going to leave them is going to sound something like, Jim, it's Rochelle Carrington. We had a time scheduled to talk at 10 a.m. My guess is you're just stuck in a long meeting or maybe a long phone call. Just give me a call back when you're finished so that we can have our conversation. I don't want you to feel bad or guilty about it. And oftentimes, you know, that's all it is, and the person calls back, and they may call back 20 minutes later, half an hour later, or you'll get the email that says, you're right, I am stuck on something. Now, every once in a while, you don't get anything back. So typically what I would do is I would leave a message, the message that I just suggested, and then I would wait 2 days, and I would call again. And if I got another voicemail, I'm going to leave another message, and then I might call the next day. But after 3 phone calls, I'm figuring either some massive emergency has come up, or frankly, they just weren't committed enough to really have that conversation in the first place. Well, after that third attempt, I am usually going to do a close the file message, which may, and you could do it via voicemail or email, but it would basically sound like, if I'm doing it via voicemail, it would sound like, Jim, it's Rochelle Carrington. I've left a few different messages for you and haven't heard back, and so my instinct is probably one of three things has happened. Either you won the lottery and you're off on the beach somewhere having a great time and could care less about any training, or you've just been super busy and you haven't had a chance to call me back, or you've just decided to go in a different direction and you just felt like telling me would hurt my feelings. So if I don't hear back from you by Friday, what I'll do is I'll figure that you decided to move in a different direction, and I will go ahead and close the file. If there's anything else that's going on, please give me a call back before Friday and let me know.
That's great. I love how there's no pressure. There's no guilt. It's very nurturing. I was working with a group. I asked them, so what am I doing? And this gal said, you are unselling. And really,
I
like that too. Sandler is the unselling approach. It's, yeah, if you don't want to buy from us, that's okay. Let's just move on. And that kind of clear future is so healthy. Rochelle, give us your contact information in case there's somebody here who would like to connect with you directly.
My email is rochelle@sandler.com, rochelle@sandler.com, and the phone number is 914-273-4700.
Fantastic. And I'm Jim Stevens. I'm available at 208-429-9275, or you can catch us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. That's crossroads.sandler.com. One thing that strikes me about everything we've discussed today is that you cannot change bad habits overnight. It takes time, it takes ongoing reinforcement, and it takes a commitment to do something different. If you have that commitment, give us a call. Our next segment is called Entrepreneur Radio. In this, we invite entrepreneurs, business leaders, and managers in the Treasure Valley here to share their story. It helps our listeners get a feel for what's going on in the business community in the Treasure Valley area, and also gives us the opportunity to learn from other people's successes and challenges. If you'd like to be on this program, or you know somebody who'd be a good candidate for it, please give me a call, 208-429-9275. We will be back right after this message.
Sandler Training Strategic Customer Care Class. This 16-week course will better equip your frontline employees to recognize opportunities, deal with difficult customers, and much more. Sandler Training will help build their confidence, client relationships, and your bottom line. Go to crossroads.sandler.com and reserve a seat before they're gone. That's crossroads.sandler.com.
So, Doug, you and your team have been involved. First, you invited me to come out and spend 2 days with the team on site. So talk a little bit about what happened there.
We called you because we were having difficulty communicating as a team. Our management leadership meetings were contentious. People that were involved had their own agenda and the inability to hear others. And we needed some avenue to clear the path for everybody to be heard and for everybody to be able to speak. And that was what was most telling after the initial meeting with you, that allowed us to at least open that door and then understand why people communicated the way they did. That was the eye-opening experience we received early on in training with Crossroads.
In that two-day meeting, we helped you all understand each other better by going through your assessments.
It can be initially a very uncomfortable experience, and I think what you saw as far as drawing us closer is that when you experience something very uncomfortable in a crowd, and granted it's people that you know, you may initially, and what we saw was people initially disagreed with what was being said about them, but with your help, they were able to understand that it was, in fact, the reality. When they saw other people going through the same thing, appreciated it, were able to swallow their own weaknesses when they saw others doing the same.
Having transparency and openness in relationships is so key to success in any organization. Our process for facilitating discovery is key for success in developing a strong organization. And welcome back to the program. I'm Jim Stevens, your host for the Entrepreneur Radio segment of our program. I'm honored to have with me in the studio today Juniper Cooper. If you are looking for a hard-working realtor who can help you sell your home, I have the person for you. She's got our home listed. And one thing I've learned about you, Juniper, you are a ball of energy. So welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jim, for having me.
Well, I wanted you to share with our listeners a little bit about what got you into real estate. Because, and I guess I would preface that by saying there's a lot of people who get into real estate, but there's not a lot of people who are successful at it. You've been one of those that are a top producer. So tell us, how did you do that?
Well, you know, I actually got into real estate very young. I was 21 years old, and I had a young daughter, and I wasn't really quite certain what I wanted to do, and I kind of got into it on accident and then ended up falling in love with it and have stayed in the business since I think it's 2001. I have to check.
Wow.
But so for quite some time.
Well, you've built quite a business in that short length of time. How many units does your agency sell?
So I have a team over at the Keller Williams Realty Boise Brokerage. And so my team specifically sells over about 150 homes every year.
Wow.
Give or take a few. You know, for the first probably 8 years or so, I just really kind of did it part-time. And then obviously we went through a small dip.
Right.
And then it was actually during the dip that I they learned about how to build a real estate team in 2010, and
yeah,
that's when I actually really started selling real estate full-time.
Wow, good for you. Yeah, and, and you do have a great team of people that you've surrounded yourself with.
Yes, I believe so. I really have amazing salespeople that work on our team, as well as administrative people that, you know, they very much care deeply about our clients and about the service level that we provide.
What would you say is your secret to success?
There's probably a lot of things that have contributed to our success, but if I were to pinpoint one thing, it would be probably consistency.
Mm.
You know, we may not have done everything perfectly over the years, yet we do it consistent, and we are very tenacious about completing everything that we do.
That's fantastic. Well, some of our listeners may have been in a position where they are either looking at buying or selling a home. What advice do you give to people who are thinking about listing their house or they're thinking about moving?
You know, that's interesting, because I think when people get ready to buy a home or sell a home, typically there's some sort of life circumstance that's causing them to do that, right? So whether that's, hey, I need a bigger house because we just had another baby, or hey, our kids graduated from school and we're ready to downsize, there's typically
right,
a lot
right,
that's going on personally. So what I would recommend to anyone is to really look at what your personal situation is, and does it make sense for you before looking at the market? Because I think some people will try to make decisions based on the market alone.
Yeah.
And the market usually, whether or not people realize it, fluctuates quite a bit. It can fluctuate a lot in 1 year. So I would say, you know, really look at that personal reason of why are you thinking about buying? Why are you thinking about selling? And then go get advice on where the market is and if it makes sense.
Is there a good time to buy or a bad time? I mean, isn't the market something you just can't predict?
I would say it's definitely something you can't predict.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that could happen that could cause it to change very quickly. As far as buying, honestly, right now is the best time to buy ever, because historically, if you look at where the historical average is, we're actually far below where our average home price should be.
Mm.
And in addition to that, we have historically low rates that are combined with that. And honestly, there's never been a better time to buy in the history of housing.
Wow, that's phenomenal. So if somebody out there is thinking about it, they ought to maybe take some action.
I would do that now.
Well, why don't you give them your phone number just in case?
So,
how would they reach out?
Yep. So if anybody is looking to buy or sell and they'd love some advice or some additional information, you can reach us at 208-321-5585.
And do that one more time.
It's 208-321-5585.
So we're talking about real estate, whether it's a buyer's market or a seller's market. I have owned and sold a lot of homes and properties over the year, and I think everything just kind of washes out. And I think your advice about what does your life need really needs to be the driving force. How do you help your clients get to the point where they're making that, helping them make that decision?
You know, we can help you kind of talk through things as to whether or not it makes sense for you to buy or whether it makes sense for you to sell. At the end of the day, it's really a personal decision to move.
Yeah.
And then I believe that where we really come in is when you really feel confident that you're ready to do something.
Mm.
And that's when we can give you advice on what the market is doing and all of that. Because, as I mentioned, moving's such a big deal.
Yeah.
If you're moving personally.
Right.
If you're doing residential, if you're doing rental property or things like that, that's all numbers. Yet, I think sometimes, too, just bouncing off, okay, this is what we're thinking. What are your thoughts?
Right.
Sometimes just helps you make a decision.
Right. Good point. I really appreciated in you helping Joan and I, you were far from pushy. In fact, I would say you worked hard to talk us out of it because you didn't want us to make a decision that was not in our best interest. And I think that's such a refreshing perspective that I've not experienced. So I think you're great at that.
Oh, well, thank you, Jim. Yeah. Well, I would say that we, and I know I deeply feel that, you know, all of my clients, I want them to make the decision that's right for them.
Mm-hmm.
What the market is doing, I can share with you that, and yet it isn't necessarily completely the whole picture.
And it could change tomorrow.
And it could change tomorrow, yeah.
Well, we've only got a couple of minutes left in the program. What I'd like to spend that time on is have you give some advice. So no doubt there's somebody listening to the program now who is either new in business, starting up a business, or they're at a place where they just are not sure what they should do to shake things up. Give our listeners some business advice, if you would.
Okay, so I think if I look back at my progress through building my business, you know, obviously, first and foremost, the biggest thing is focus on selling. Focus on selling. Focus all your energy on finding clients to service.
Right.
And then once you have too many clients to service, I think the thing that I really learned was to simply incrementally remove myself from things that didn't involve, for me, client interaction, right?
So delegating those administrative tasks by getting a team of people around you who you can
depend
on.
And they typically are better than us.
Right,
If you're entrepreneurial, a lot of times I think you're probably a natural salesperson.
And that means you're probably naturally scattered.
Scattered. Maybe not the best paperwork person.
That is so true. And getting somebody who can clean up after us is a good idea.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think the biggest challenge we're going to be having in our valley over the next couple of years is?
You know, right now, if I talked about anything, it would probably be the rental market. I don't know if anyone has been following it. What you'll actually see is the occupants or the vacancy rates are actually at an all-time low. And the rental prices are at an extremely high rate, okay? So I think that's probably the biggest market to watch. Since the rates on rent are really high, and mortgage and the interest rates and all that are really low, it's causing a push definitely to go buy housing for people that maybe wouldn't have considered it otherwise. And if those rates do change or those vacancy rates change, obviously the rental amounts could come down. You know, there's a lot of things.
As I drive around town, I see a lot of new apartment complexes going up. Is that going to have an impact then?
Yeah, that should definitely
bring down rental prices.
The rental prices,
because the vacancy rate's going to go up.
Because the vacancy rate will go up. In fact, I think that's a lot of the new construction that I have noticed in the rental market has been fourplexes and apartment complexes.
Ah.
And if you check on the rates, they're going to be probably much higher than you expected if you haven't been in the market recently. So.
Well, Juniper, it's great having you on the show today. Thank you so much. Share with our listeners one more time, how would they reach you?
So if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can reach us at 208-321-5585. Once again, it's 208-321-5585.
Juniper Cooper, if you're looking for someone to help you with real estate, she's your gal. This is Jim Stevens, the host of the Sandler Training Hour. We'll be back after this commercial break to give you some more insights and strategies into how to increase your sales and management skills. We will be back right after this. Do you realize that for every customer complaint you receive, 26 of your customers remain silent, though they are unhappy? 82% of customers who stop using your services do so because of a single negative experience. I'm Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. Our Strategic Customer Care Program provides an interactive forum for your employees to learn the fundamentals of dealing with difficult clients, increasing referrals, developing prospecting awareness, and increasing your revenue by upselling and cross-selling. Give your frontline team the tools needed to deliver an exceptional customer service experience. 4 months, an hour and a half each week, and your frontline staff will be equipped to help you gain market share and destroy your competition. Enroll today by contacting us at area code 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. Or reach us on the web at www.crossroads.sandler.com. This next soundbite is from a client of ours in the Seattle, Washington area, Bethany Bredinger, who's with Sonatrol Pacific. They're a firm that specializes in commercial security systems. Beth has been in our President's Club as well as in our strategic management training program for a little over a year. All right, I've got one of my clients on the line here, Bethany Bredinger. Bethany is with Sonatrol Pacific. Beth, you've been in Sandler training how long now, a year?
Just over a year, Jim.
Yeah.
Yep.
So talk to me about it. What do you think so far?
Oh, man. I really couldn't express in a short period of time, you know, all the benefits that I've gotten from Sandler. What I can tell you, though, is that I didn't expect the results to be as quick as they were, because I've done programs where I've had quick results, but then I get bored with it. In this case, the difference with Sandler is I was able to get quick results, but I've stayed with it, and over the course of a year, I've continued to build on those results, and it's new stuff every time that I'm learning and applying, and my business there's a marked increase that everybody in my company has noticed and comes and says, "What's going on? What are you doing?"
Wow, that's great. So what are some of your favorite techniques or things you've learned from Sandler?
I think the coolest thing that I've learned from Sandler, and this took me a little bit to perfect, but is the technique that you teach about negative reversing. Everything you teach is kind of centered around not doing what the customer expects, that dance that you do back and forth that I was stuck doing and didn't like my job when I was having to do that. And it's changed my actual job description and the way that I interact with clients so much so that now I feel very proud of what I do, and I love going to work, and I don't feel like I'm getting caught in that dance anymore. I'm able to actually talk to people, and they forget I'm a salesperson because of these techniques.
Right.
They end up selling it themselves, and I feel like I'm not even selling.
Yeah, that is very neat. Have you actually seen tangible results like sales numbers, income, that type of thing?
Income would be definitely by far the most tangible results. I have quadrupled the monthly that I've been doing for the company. When I started, that amount has quadrupled, in turn, I have more than doubled my income. Pretty drastic results, I would say.
Well, you should be very proud of yourself. You do a great job applying what we train.
Thank you, Jim. I think that's a big part of it is I have faith in the Sandler system, and when you tell me things, sometimes it seems counter to what my instincts would tell me to do, but I go out there, I try it, and it works. So I'm going to keep doing that. Whatever you tell me, I'm going to keep going out there and putting it to you.
Nice. That's great. What would you say to someone, Beth, who has been on the fence about getting involved in Sandler? They've heard about it. They've thought about it. They just haven't pulled the trigger.
Pull that trigger as fast as you can. Get in there. You definitely will get tremendous value out of it. Whatever stage you are coming into it, I had a sales background. And I had taken courses before yours.
Mm-hmm.
So this wasn't my first course. This is something that's very, very different than any course that I've taken. And the results are going to be different as well. So firsthand, I would put my stamp on it. You will see results from this. I would do it.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Beth. I appreciate it. Hey, by the way, if somebody wanted to reach out to you personally and hear from you firsthand, would you mind if they gave you a call?
I would love it. Please feel free to call me. My direct cell is 425-754-4793.
Thank you, Beth. Really appreciate it. And welcome back to the final segment of the Sandler Training Hour. I'm your host, Jim Stevens. We're talking with Rochelle Carrington, and she's been sharing with us about establishing a clear future. In Sandler speak, what that means is making sure at every meeting we define with our prospect or client exactly what's going to happen next. In order to do that, we've got to pre-plan. What do we want to have happen next? We need to prepare the client for that by letting them know up front at the end of this conversation, if we decide to move forward, we're going to do these two or three things. And then at the end of the meeting, we have to follow through and specifically pin them down to the action steps that we've agreed to. Rochelle gave us some tactics that are very helpful. One is to send an invite, an Outlook invite, so that we can confirm that they have accepted. And if they don't accept, then we need to follow up on that to make sure it is a validated meeting. She also gave us a couple of role play examples of what does a voicemail sound like, first, second, and third, if somebody stands me up. So in this final segment, Rochelle, let's talk about some of the difficult cases. It's not uncommon to have somebody who, maybe they didn't stand us up, but they aren't really following through, or they're giving us something vague. They're very hesitant to really be pinned down. No, no, just call me next week. How do I handle that?
Yeah, those are the situations that I love, because I view it as a bit of a challenge, and I'm a clear future fanatic. If I pick anything that I'm really good at in Sandler, I would say that the number one thing is that I never, ever, ever walk out, hang up without that date and time. I'm just fanatical about it. But sometimes you can be talking to a prospect and you come to the end and they say, you know, give me a call next week. And you say, well, okay, let's pick a date and a time for that. Well, Monday morning sounds good. And I've had this exact situation play out live in my life with a prospect who said that, and his name was Jim, and I said, no problem, Jim, I can call you Monday morning, but can we put a time on the calendar? And he said, no, Rochelle, I really don't want to do that, but I guarantee you that I will be there and I will take your call. And so I'm already thinking I've asked him twice, but I cannot leave his office without getting this pinned down. And I said, look, Jim, I just hope that you can help me out here. I'm not trying to be pushy about this, but one thing I know is that when I decide to call you, there's a very high likelihood you're going to be doing something else. And he said, no, I will be here. You call me in the morning, I will be here. And I said, I get it. I know that this is going to sound pushy to you, but could you just humor me and can we just get a time down? And he finally lets out this huge sigh and said, fine, Monday at 10 o'clock. Now, the interesting thing was once I started working with he and his team, he told that story to all of his salespeople about the fact that I would not walk out of that room without the date and the time, and that was the thing that made a big impression on him.
Wow.
It may have slightly annoyed him in the moment, but he also knew that that was somebody who really knew how to sell, and he wanted his salespeople to be doing the same thing. And he said, I had a lot of respect for the fact that you came back three times and wouldn't budge on that. And that told me that, you know, this was somebody I should really start paying attention to. That's kind of, I think, sometimes the battle in our own head is, how many times can I go back and ask for that date when you can tell that they don't want to give it to you for whatever reason? And I think sometimes the reason is because they're just not used to salespeople doing that.
Yeah.
They're used to controlling it and just being able to kind of give a general callback time, and people take it. And so when you have the conviction that says, I'm not walking out without it, because I know that honestly, it's not just about me and how it's bad for me to be chasing and wasting my time, but frankly, it's bad for the prospect too, because it's now going to become a complete waste of their time, because every time they return my message, there's a high likelihood I'm not going to be there. And now we're in voicemail tag, and if I just stay strong and have conviction, then I can make it more time efficient for both of us. So it's actually, I think in a lot of ways, a great trust and bonding and rapport move to really stand firm and get that date and time.
It's intentional leadership, and it inspires respect. And in that moment, my mind is thinking, boy, I can't do this. Look at his face. He's getting angry at me.
Yeah.
And that's when we hit what we call in Sandler wimp junction. We wimp out because we think, oh, I can't push any further. But that really, I love what Rochelle said. I love the challenge, and this is the opportunity for me to prove that they're someone they can respect. Great stuff.
Absolutely. I like the idea of the intentional leadership. People do talk about it after the fact. And the funny thing is that it also trains them for every situation that happens after that. They're ready with their calendar to pull out and get next date. So you're really training them for any future conversation that you have that they just go, of course, we're not going to walk out without a date and a time because that's what you always do. And they'll joke about
right.
it. And I love it. Yeah. So it just helps with the effectiveness, which is, as salespeople, our time is so incredibly valuable. We don't have the time to be making 5 follow-up phone calls to somebody because we didn't have the guts to get the clear future when we were there.
One of the concepts we train in Sandler is establishing equal business status. And I was talking to a client the other day in a training and said, now, do you think your prospects care about hurting your feeling? And they said, no, not really, because it happens all the time. And I said, so let me ask you this. Do you care about hurting their feelings? Every one of them said yes. Talk to us about this mindset that makes us cower in front of a prospect.
Well, I think it all comes down to the concept that we don't really have the idea of equal business stature, that we allow the prospect to put us in an unequal position, that we are there to get their money, that we are there because they've been kind enough to grant us the time, and their time is more valuable than ours. And the reality is our time is equally valuable, that we need to be on the same level as them. No one is better or worse than the other. If we go in with that idea, that concept, that what we do, no matter what you sell, help that prospect, that without you, they wouldn't be able to accomplish certain things in their business. So if you have that conviction, then it makes it easier to have that equal business stature and not worry about offending. Because asking someone for a date and a time to have a next conversation or a next meeting is really not offensive. We've got to respect each other's time so that we don't have to have multiple conversations after this. And I think it's also really important to do it even when there are other people that may need to be in a second meeting, and someone may say, why don't you send me some dates via email, and I'll get together with the other 3 people in our company, and we'll figure out what to do. We know that that's going to be a giant chase game, too. There's going to be 12 emails going back and forth with different dates. And so what I choose to do there is say, you know, totally understand that we need to get the other people on board, but why don't you and I pick a date first that works for the two of us, and then you can go to the other people in your company and see if they can fill that date as well. If they can't, you email me back, and we'll talk about some other dates that you and I can do, but at least we have a tentative hold for something on our calendar. And the beauty of that is when someone has something on their calendar, they are far more likely to go right away to get the other people on the team to accept that appointment than if it's just an email that has 5 different dates in it, and many of those dates come and go, and they still haven't talked to the rest of the members of the team that need to be in that meeting.
So are you suggesting, Rochelle, that we're better off sending only one date and time, not giving them 2 or 3 to pick from?
What I'm suggesting is that when I'm with them, I want to pick one date or time, because if I can get them to place that on their calendar, they're going to have a higher likelihood of going and checking with the other people. And this happens sometimes, you know, you do have to send dates. I would send a max of 3 and be very specific about the time, because when we get overwhelmed with dates, it just becomes really hard for people to look at their calendar with that many dates. So the fewer options, the better.
You know, this has been a great show. I'm going to be encouraging all of my clients to make sure their administrative staff listens to this, because oftentimes, I know for me, most of my appointments are scheduled by my assistant. And there, I can't tell you how many times, Rochelle, I'm just listening today, I'm thinking, you know, I don't think we're doing very clear futures. We're doing next steps, but not clear futures. So thank you so much for the wisdom you've shared today.
You're welcome. welcome. It was a lot of fun. Thank you for having me.
And share before you sign off here, share with our listeners, how do they reach out and talk to you?
They can reach me by sending me an email, which is rochelle@sandler.com, rochelle@sandler.com, or reaching out by phone. My phone number is 914-273-4700.
That's fantastic. So we've had as our guest today Rochelle Carrington. My name is Jim Stevens. We're at 208-429-9275. I love to get feedback from our listeners on what they like about the program, what they'd like to see us or hear us talk about in the future. So if you've got an idea, reach out to us either on our phone number, 208-429-9275, or you can reach us on the web at crossroads.sandler.com. Thank you very much for spending part of your weekend with us. I really, really appreciate you being here. And remember, if you measure it, you will manage it. Sell, sell, sell. Hi, this is Jim Stevens with Sandler Training. If you're a business owner who's thinking about selling or transitioning your firm to your employees, and you're not sure if you'll be able to achieve your dream of a successful transition, call me, Jim Stevens, 208-429-9275. I will help you determine what actions will be required to position your business for a successful transition. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275. That's 208-429-9275. If you're ready to take your business to the next level, we're ready to help. Sandler Training, 208-429-9275.